Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio or Chant TV. On a Balls McWednesday, I'm Jeff. That is Tom in studio. On the day after a historic ass-kicking over the University of Florida, and that's a wonderful way to start the show, huh? I'm Jeff. As I said, that is Tom. Somewhere out and about is Director Matthew. On Twitter, it's at J. Cameron Show. Welcome in. Busy show, fun show, and it's a crazy busy fun week, actually, the whole time, and it's off to a banner start. I mean, yesterday had a chance to go over to practice and then mosey on over to Hauser as things got started. And it was, you know, you could sense, you could feel it. You'll hear me bring this up to Link Jarrett, who's on the show today. You'll hear me bring that up to him here shortly, where we kind of talked about what that was, how unique that was, how amazing and different and historically cool that was last night at Hauser. Also on the show, Lottie Woad. That is the Augusta National champion, amateur champion, is what she is, in addition to being a Florida State All-American. And, man, it was cool to talk to her, too, because how many times can you say you talked to somebody who went birdie to close out at Augusta and win by a stroke? She actually birdied three of the last four, but it's a fun conversation talking with her. Florida State, very proud, and anybody certainly who knows her, and Coach Amy Bond, everybody's really excited about what that program's doing. I wanted to sit down with her. Coach Bond was kind enough to arrange that, so I did, and Lottie was great. And it's great to pick the brain of a champion, especially somebody who's executing at Augusta National, because it's Masters Week. We talk about how busy everything is and how fun everything is. Well, then add to the party, baby. It's Masters Week, and they, of course, tee off tomorrow. And then Friday, Libations Friday, it is the Jeff Cameron Show / War Chant charity golf tournament that is always a joy to put on. My friends over at Capital City Country Club hosting again this year. And the Big Ben Second Harvest is the charity, and Second Harvest is the Big Ben. And we really appreciate them, too. It's cool how they get involved with anybody that's working to help them out as well. And so everybody wins, and it's just neat. And I look forward to teeing it up with my brother Tom Lang and Matt Millar. And we're going to just, and everybody that's coming out and being supportive. So it's going to be a good time. But, yeah, exhale. What a moment. Tom, yesterday I was at practice, football practice, and I'm walking over to the stadium, you know, like we all do, when you go over to Hauser, certain parts of practice, you're indoors in the indoor practice facility, other parts you go, depending on if you're watching offense, defense, or what segment of practice they're in, you go to Hauser. Well, towards the latter stages in the 5 o'clock hour, you began to feel the buzz at Hauser. You really did, like just the way the fans were trickling in. I really think it kind of all added up to there was blood in the water and people knew it, and they knew that it would be frenzied, and they knew that Florida kind of, you know, listen, we figured they'd come out and be a little scrappy. They'd lost the first two games of the season series. They had just gotten swept by Mizzou on the road, in which they choked it away in the ninth, and so you knew they'd be a little ornery, and we thought, okay, but this would be good. Let's see if we can get the season sweep. And then you found out there was word on the street that the Marching Chiefs were going to be there, and I've never been to a baseball game in which the Marching Chiefs were there in attendance to play the anthem and to be part of the festivities. And so you kind of, I can't wait to see what this looks like. It's a 7 o'clock first pitch, and man, you'll hear in a moment, Link said it last night, he says it again with me today, unlike anything he's ever experienced, and I thought the same as it got louder and louder and louder and it fed off of itself and the focus and the energy, it was something to behold. And now, if we're talking about adding to all of what's going on, Miami comes to town tomorrow. And so, again, another rival is in town. So, on the heels of sweeping Florida in historic fashion and by the largest margin in the history of the series, now you invite Miami in, but you're also dealing with some adversity there, and it will be very interesting to see what happens, and I'll explain that in a bit. First of all, welcome to town. Good to have you back. How are you, buddy?
Well, howdy. How you been?
I've been good.
That's how they talk where I come from,
no,
New York.
It's not.
The last thing I watched last night was this game. I saw it through to the run ruling, and
I did too. Who was going to walk away from that?
Well, and you know it's coming. You know what I did in the third inning was I looked up. At what point does the run rule kick in baseball?
You're like seventh, I hope. Was sixth,
it,
maybe?
I was like, yeah. Well, it would be really awesome if it kicked in when it's an official game in the fifth. And it's like final five innings, you know, 14-3.
Beat your ass. They ended it in the fifth.
So how about 40,
fifth.
45 runs in three games.
Oh, yeah. No,
45 runs.
Not for the faint of heart.
And if we didn't pull, I think we...
could have made it worse.
Down. We tamped it down a little bit towards the end. Mm-hmm. We could have averaged two runs an inning against Florida for the three-game series if we really pressed it.
Well, so I did. Yesterday, I missed the show. First of all, I do need to circle back. Many of you on social media, and also, by the way, friends out there who texted me that I haven't gotten back to yet. Yeah, I had a pet emergency in the Cameron household yesterday. My dog, I used to have two dogs. One of them passed away. A while back, Steve passed away some time ago. I remember when, you know, I made that announcement on the air. Maggie, his sister, is still with us and doing pretty well, or at least she was until yesterday. She's a little over 12, and then we think she had a seizure. And I was prepping to do the interview with Lottie as that was getting ready to happen, and it was a weird set of circumstances. Anyhow, I don't want to belabor that point. Thank you for the well wishes, and thank you for reaching out, all of you. And yeah, man, I do. I love dogs. I love animals. I'm a big pet guy, and I'm a big nature pet and animal guy. You guys know that. So yeah, it shook us to the core. She's okay. She's back at home, and we're just monitoring now, and we'll see what happens. But it caused us to miss Seminole headlines yesterday, and that's where I was going. Today, we did an hour straight through. You can find it on the pod. You can find it on War Chant TV. Corey and I and myself got together. We were able to doff the cap to our sponsors. We really appreciate, obviously, Registered Sausage, Birch Orthodontics, and all of you. But we tried to answer as many of the questions as we didn't get to yesterday. And we talked about the result of the game last night, just like you and I are talking about it. And we answered some spring football questions, too.
So quickly, just logistically, the video of it is available now. Don't leave. You're staying here. Come on. Hang out with us. It's going to be a good time. But it's on demand already on the channel, and then the pod is going to drop at 3:00. So if you're in the headlines feeds and you're saying, where the hell is it?
Yeah.
3:00. 3:00 today is when it's going to drop, in addition to a bunch of other elements. The pod feeds are loaded up, too. A lot of interviews, a lot of one-on-ones,
a lot of
what have yous.
Yeah. No, there's plenty of there. So, coming up in the second segment here, I think we have Link, and then in the second hour we have Lottie. As I said, the Augusta... amateur women's champion, and it's just amazing to think about, being that those are incredibly difficult, stress-filled shots she had to hit coming down the stretch. For those of you that watched it, you know what I'm talking about. It's interesting to hear the mindset of a person who handles that situation so well, and so we don't always get that, which is great. I appreciate that. I appreciate Amy Baum, the head coach over there, reaching out to do that. And again, yeah, thanks for the well wishes. We'll see. Maggie's doing all right now, knock on wood. When I left the house this morning, she was a little better than she was yesterday. Vet helped us out. Thanks, Dr. Thabes, and we'll see what happens. So there you go. Because people have asked, so there you go. Listen, most of us all get that, right? You get the deal. We all have dogs, cats, things like that, and it can be tough.
Yeah, when they well, it's not going to be a segment about that.
Nope.
But when they're helpless.
Oh, it makes you feel, the worst, because you're like, because you can't explain it to them, too. You're like, okay, now listen to me. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the problem.
And that's why, we have a great charity we're supporting in this golf tournament on Friday in the second harvest of the Big Bend, but this is why a lot of people support charities that have to do with animals.
Sure.
Because vets perform miracles, it seems.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So I do want to say ahead of time, and again, we'll probably break here shorter than normally, like 20 after than we normally do, because I want to bring the interview to you. Something's wrong at Florida. You know, I've been saying this was going to happen, and you guys know why I think it's going to happen. There hasn't always been the moment where there was overwhelming evidence that it's going to happen, but in my opinion, you can't have that guy run that program and not have that backfire on you. And I think you've seen it a couple of times, even in the midst of their successes, there have been really weird results. Remember the home regional when they were a top eight national seed and got bounced in Gainesville by a million runs? I think it was South Alabama or somebody beat their ass. And that was right on the heels of the episode that everybody is aware of. Mm. And I couldn't believe that somehow that guy was retained after all of that. And, you know, if you ever wondered what winning can do for you, it can make people overlook heinous actions. Anyhow, so I...
Man, what a job to be in that athletic department the last 30 years. You've seen a lot of things if you've been in the Gainesville athletic department the last 30 years.
You have, yeah. Really unsettling things in some circumstances. But, you know, but then he bounced back. So I'm like, all right, well, I don't know. I guess forgive and forget. Jeez, I guess. You know, I wondered. But I bring it up now because, Tom, I'm telling you, so those two home runs last night to start the game for Florida, and you could see, like, they're locked in, they're focused, they're angry, as one would be. You've been owned by Florida State this year. You're coming off of having gotten your ass swept by a sub-500 Mizzou team on the road, including a walk-off on Sunday. And so you thought, all right, well, you're going to get their best shot. You're going to get their most focused, as it should be, right? These teams, they fight. They've got some talent. And when the two home runs happened, I was like, all right, gather. Let's not let this get unruly to start the day. I mean, you talk about dampening the moment, right? Right after that amazing national anthem from the Chiefs, you're like, good Lord. I mean, we don't need that. Tang, tang, right off the bat. You're like, good Lord. So I'm hoping we settle, and we do, and then the response is evil. I mean, Florida State's retort is, well, allow me to retort. Here are six for that ass. And it's from that moment forward that you see the malaise on the look of the Florida players. They look, they're like kind of staring off in the distance, like, what has happened? There was no what for, no want to, no giddy up, no fight.
Our ass is in the jackpot now, okay?
Indeed. And I thought, well, it's awfully early to quit, gentlemen. I mean, yeah, Florida State's going to answer. It's awfully, I know that we look at it from Florida State's standpoint, as we should, and we marvel at the dominance displayed this year from Florida State towards Florida. And we certainly celebrate what has been a massive turnaround for a baseball program that was dead in the water last year. I mean, last year, it didn't take long. You had about a 10-day window where you felt pretty good about the baseball team. Somewhere around day 25, you thought, season over. And it happened just like that. And now you look at this team and you think, what's off the table? What is there anything off the table? I don't want to get too far out over the skis here, but this is an offense that plays against anybody. It is as deep and consistent. And when they put together at-bats like that last night, I mean, that atmosphere didn't shake them, nothing. They were locked the hell in. So, and there are guys who are getting better as the season's going. There are guys starting to emerge.
Their problem is battling how good they are internally.
Right.
Mentally.
It's a good problem to
have. They know how good they are. That's the problem they have this year now.
It's an all-timer.
As a lineup.
Yeah.
Pitching staff.
Pitching still. Yeah. Now, listen. This interview was done mere minutes before I came on to start this show. So we finished up this interview within the last hour. This is me and Link Jarrett. You're going to hear it next. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you, you podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today, so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom. A salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
And you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't
no.
be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you can get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's. Welcome back, Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. You see the man on the screen right there. He is the head baseball coach at Florida State. He's Link Jarrett. Coach, first of all, good afternoon. Great to talk to you as always. Secondly, let's just start with you're 27-5. A lot of baseball to play. Coaches always look to the next. I get it. But if I had told you before the season that this thing was going to turn around to the tune of 27-5 at this juncture of the season after completing a three-game sweep over Florida for the season, would you have thought that that was possible? Because you might have. I don't know.
Jeff, there were moments in the fall and the preseason where I saw on the field as good of college baseball as I've ever seen. I really did. Then I saw sloppy stuff that concerned me, and I still see a combination of that. But the delivery and the response from the players, like, you face adversity in numerous ways in this thing. You face positive experiences that you have to respond to. I thought last night's game, the environment, the fans, the marching chiefs, the energy, and the response and the delivery by our guys was as good as I've seen. So whatever the record is, it is. I have seen flashes from the moment we started preseason work and even in the fall up until last night of the college game being played at a very, very high level. I don't really care about the records. I want the guys to perform every day and be the best versions of themselves. That's what this game demands, and it's relentless. Like, if you looked at, we got back at 2:30 in the morning, Monday morning. By the time these guys got to their apartments, it was probably 3 o'clock to think of when they went to bed and had academics and stuff to reboot Tuesday and deliver. It's just a great response, and it was fun to watch it. For some people, last night's game might be the only game they get to come to. There were people climbing up the wall, hanging on the screen in right field to get a look at this. There were students, I was told, wrapped around the parking lot that just couldn't get in. To deliver the product for the people that came to this, it was really a cool moment. To have the marching chiefs, David Plack, to line that up, which started as, can you play the anthem? He's like, Coach, we got way more than an anthem for you. They practice in our concourses every time there's lightning in the fall. And I let them. You can practice anywhere you want. Like, come up there. So it's pretty cool. And just the matching of the on-field product to what the fans and the marching chiefs and the energy brought to the table. I coached in the biggest on-campus super regional in the history of the sport, Starkville a couple years ago. And then the Knoxville thing in 22 was the biggest one-game viewing in the history of super regional baseball.
Right.
But the last night was better. Like, the atmosphere was better last night here, and the delivery of the product by the players was as good as I've seen, man.
Coach, I want to echo this for a second because I love the way you laid it out. I was covering football yesterday. I was down covering on the field. I was in the indoor practice facility. I came out and watched them do 11-on-11s. And then my next step was to – so I was in Hauser. And the reason I bring that up is I got to watch it build. I got to watch slowly how it built. All the things you're describing about it, fans begin to trickle in. There's a buzz in the air. There's a sense that something special could happen here tonight, a feeling that
this was going to be a unique baseball atmosphere. I've been going to games since you played at Hauser and before. And I think you're right. You don't need me to confirm it, but I think that's the most unique atmosphere at Hauser I've ever seen. I can only imagine what it was like to coach and be and play in. But watching it, I walked all around the stadium. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
It's the best I've seen. And the the focus, like the guys matching what was going on externally and locking in, I've never seen them play with that kind of poise and focus and calmness. Like in what was a raucous, really neat environment, they went the other way. Like they calmed and focused. It was really special. Like it's been a long time. You know, I came in here a couple of years ago as an opposing coach, but I was trying to reflect back on my time playing. And then when I coached here for the one season way back, I don't know that I had felt it like that before. Maybe I missed it, but that was top of the chart for me, man.
So that's the largest margin of victory ever for FSU over Florida. You go back a long ways. I know it's a singular game and series and you want to show respect to your opponent, but you're a Knoll. That had to feel really good. I know you don't worry about the record and you want the guys to be their best, but that's pretty cool what just happened last night in terms of the lopsidedness and the dominance that displayed by your team against a rival.
No, Jeff, it was great. Before we went out on the field, we always do our scouting report meeting and we talk about some of the details of leading into these games. And we knew we had won the series. Okay, so that's behind us. Every time you step on the field, you get a chance to do something special. Every time. Like, you don't know what this game may present for you. There's an opportunity to do something unique and something special every time you step out there. Clearly, going into last night and just approaching that game as this one game, winner take all, the energy, you could feel it pulsating, like, even before we went out to take pregame infield outfield. I said, you're going to have to go out there and respond and answer in this and make this night a really special moment for you. The game presents these. Clearly, this is a unique one because you get to do something to your rival that's very difficult to do. Like, they're tough to beat.
Yeah.
They're tough to beat twice. I don't care how you spread the games out. It's tough to do it three times in a row. And watching them, man, focus and engage. I think we were four or five pitches in and there's two home runs and we're down. These guys didn't bat an eye. And Abraham didn't really bat an eye. He went right back out and continued to throw some blows. Just a remarkable in-house moment. It really was.
Yeah, I was just about to – I was going to ask you. I'm glad you answered it for me in advance. I wondered what it was like because obviously everybody settles in. The atmosphere is awesome. The anthem's incredible. Boom, boom, back-to-back home runs. And you're going, whoo, okay, Florida's a little ticked off. Let's see what happens here. But you just told me nothing changed in that dugout.
No, it didn't. And it didn't really change the enthusiasm after some of the home runs. Like, you could see it building. But it didn't get away from them. You know, sometimes when I say response, people always think it's you're responding to adversity. Sometimes you can't back down because things are going well. So your response to really good moments in games is as important to your response to the negative stuff that happens. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to manage both and stay the course. And when I say best version of yourself, that's exactly what you're trying to do. But it's got to be every at-bat and every pitch and every defensive play to have the product on the field maximize itself and be an elite-level performance.
Suffice to say, you got the response you were looking for after a couple of midweek games that I don't think you were entirely pleased with certain approaches at the plate. Going back a little bit before the BC series, you kind of commented and, you know, a little frustrated, but maybe a lack of focus or concentration. And so this sounds like the antithesis of that. These were guys that were focused every at bat, no matter the situation, no matter the score.
It was, Jeff. It was. From the first pitch to the last. I know that the at bats in the last inning, we're trying to get some of these guys into that environment. And there's a few at bats that I know they would want over. But all in all, completely locked in. But the fans and the crowd and the Chiefs and everything and the grill and the smoke on the field and the light show, that kind of locks you in. You know, it sure helps.
Yeah.
But they weren't overwhelmed by it. You know, I think there are some situations where players can be overwhelmed. In that moment, is that stage too big? Was that too much? It wasn't. And again, it was one game. But it was an explosive, really good game. And now you have to go do it like tomorrow night's one game. Like, how do we answer tomorrow night? Our sport and the relentless nature of it being in your face so often. And our staff right now, like yesterday and today, we're dealing with some really serious recruiting things that we have to tend to right now as we look towards the draft and the upcoming stuff. So for us as coaches, it's punching you in the face all the time, and the players have to answer and we have to answer as coaches. So that's, our sport may not be as physically grueling and grinding and like the physical hand-to-hand stuff that some of the other sports, but it's the relentless, you have to answer and you have to be on point 70 times in a short period of time. It's not easy.
I'm going to ask you two more questions. One of them is about the series against Miami. As you said, you got to quickly turn around against another arch rival who's going to come in here hungry to win because they've had a struggle as of late, so it's a short window. But I've always wondered this, and you can answer it, I'm sure. When did the Florida State-Florida series, which used to be, I remember doing a game, I was a color analyst with Lee Bowen when Florida State played on the road against Florida and Brett Groves hit a grand slam. I was thinking back on that. That series used to be 2-2. It was the best because it was almost like you had ones versus ones, twos versus twos, threes versus threes in the rotation, and now it's just this entirety 1-1-1 thing, which, listen, it is what it is, but I hate it. I really wish it'd go back to what it was. When did that change and why?
Do you think I know? I don't know. I don't have any idea.
You know what I'm saying? You remember the way it used to be, right? I mean, that was fun. It used to be Tallahassee Thursday, Friday, Gainesville Saturday, Sunday, or vice versa. They just changed it every year. It was the best.
Yeah, I don't know. And we also, Jeff. I'm sorry, man. There's been a lot of mileage between then
and now. Listen, I put you on the spot. You were long gone. That's not your fault. It's always bothered me, and I've just blamed it on Florida, frankly, but I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, the Jacksonville game.
Yeah.
Well, look at last night.
That was incredible.
Whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. But last night, to have that kind of setting on a Tuesday night here.
It's true. You're right.
And the same thing in Gainesville. And Jacksonville was the same thing. And playing that game in Jacksonville does bring some revenue into both programs. And the Jacksonville community rallies around it, and they provide a great experience for our guys. So it's neat. They're tough. They're tough midweek games. Like, there's no breathing room. When you throw those three in the middle of the week,
yeah,
it's tough on us. It's tough on them. You know, you look at us getting back from Clemson and having to go to Jacksonville and regroup, and they were at Missouri, I think, right? And they roll in here. Then you pull the weekend series forward for TV. Like, this is tough. So I don't know what the right formula is. I just know the experience last night for the fans and for this on national TV to be broadcast and people to watch this and the laser light show and the marching Chiefs, whatever day of the week it happened.
Yeah,
that was on point last
night. It was incredible, and I don't want to take away from what that was. You're right to point that out. I just always wondered because it would, you know, down the line we'll talk about it another day because that was incredible. I do know this weekend, no Leiter, no Whitaker. You want to give us insight into that just for my listeners who didn't hear you last night? What's happening with that?
Leiter is on his way back, and Whitaker did not rebound at all. So we're doing some testing to figure out what the next step is for him. I hope we get Leiter back soon. I don't know where we're going to stand with Whitaker. We need Jamie to be the best Jamie he can be. Lauk is going to be a dynamic lefty for us, and we saw Dorsey handle his start really well. The neat thing, Jeff, is we do have some pieces in the bullpen. Even though we're starting three lefties, we do have, with Oxford and Army and Holtz, you do have some left-handed options remaining in the bullpen. And, you know, we have some righties on the other side of it. So Leiter's on the way back. Ben Barrett is trending back. I know it's been a while for him, but all of a sudden that guy's going to be lurking back out there, and that's a positive, and Leiter's going to be okay, and we'll figure Witt out. The Yankees are going through it. The Braves are going through it. You know, I know they have a farm system to adjust their roster. We don't. That's why pitching depth, of all the things we're doing with our recruiting right now as we speak, this is happening right now. Accumulating pitching depth is probably the most important piece of the whole equation for us.
I love to hear it, Coach. Thanks for the insight, and thanks for the time on such a busy day. Go do your work. Appreciate you. We'll talk again down the road and reflect on the season.
Pulling for the Pirates for you, Jeff.
I appreciate that, Coach. Good. Take care. Bye. That's Link Jarrett, head coach, Florida State, on the heels of an amazing night at Dick Howser Stadium. As lopsided a win as Florida State's ever had over Florida. It's a season sweep. It is a butt-kicking times 10. It is unreal to think about what the Noles did to the University of Florida this year, and really, frankly, much of the opposing pitching they've seen. Now it's Miami, and they're a little short-staffed, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. We do appreciate him making time today because he is extremely busy, as he noted. Noles rolling right now. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Jeff Cameron Show rolling on. Our appreciation to Link Jarrett. He's busy today. Stopped, made time. And it's fun to talk to him because he's thorough. And, you know, you'll hear it later when you guys check in on headlines. Corey and I were talking a little bit about it. I know that Corey did on Wake Up as well. Kind of like the changing of the tide, right? You know, the programs seem to be going in different directions. Now, that is a singular moment last night. That was, you know, it's not necessarily an illustration because of that one game of what's about to happen. But it seems to me that trend is happening for other reasons besides that. Florida looks a little bit to be in a mess right now because of young pitching. They got a lot of young pitching. It's not responding well. But I think there's a personality issue there. And I think unless you're winning big, it's not okay. It's not great to be around O'Sullivan on a regular basis. I don't know anybody that's like, yeah, I can't wait to go see that guy today. So, you know, if you're winning at an elite level, you put up with an awful lot. That's true of coaches in any sport. You see it. You know, there are tyrants that players don't necessarily like. But if I get to play for championships, all right, I'll live with it, you know. But as soon as it goes south and you're dealing with that same tyrant, you're like, yeah, no, man, this ain't it. I got to deal with this every day and we suck. It's not cool. Let alone the situation off the field. But if you turn the spotlight back on us, the detail that I'm referencing with which Link Jarrett operates on a regular basis portends of consistency. Now we'll see if it ends up being a championship or multiple championships. Hey, dream big. It's hard to win those, and you need a lot of luck even when you're really, really good. We've seen that. But you can just put yourself in positions, and I think Florida State's back to being able to put themselves annually in position to have an opportunity to win the ultimate prize. And I think it's Link's attention to detail and passion for the sport in school. And then I think the ability right now to get yeses from big name recruits, you're seeing it. See, this is not like, hey, look, we're having a good year because of all these transfers, et cetera, that we added to the few that stayed back and were really good last year during a bad season. It's because they're also getting yeses from, you know, the equivalent of five-star elite level high school prospects, you know, 6'6" first baseman and that kind of a thing, and more pitchers. And I think that the replenishment of the roster on an annual basis seems to be sustainable, given the way that the door is opening again for Florida State in the way of access to the better players. And it's something that the bigger programs, Tom, can do. Like, go back to football. Now, that too is a changing landscape. But most programs that have a rich history, that have an awful lot of cachet, have a quicker path back to their greatness of yesteryear than programs that have never experienced it. So go see Bob Stoops when he took over Oklahoma. Oklahoma was a mess, had been down for a long time. We all know the story. Next thing you know, in a couple of seasons, Oklahoma's winning the national championship, most unfortunately over us. Okay, it happened. And then from there, even though that was the only one he won, played for others and was consistently good. But Oklahoma had a really rich history. Alabama, for a very long time, did next to nothing. Nick Saban comes in. Now, Gene Stallings was the blip on the radar exception, but you had, you know, obviously Shula and DeBose and all these guys. Didn't work out at all. The right guy comes in, taps into that rich history, stirs up the echoes, and people are donating again, and they're all in. Boom, back to winning at a level that, well, Nick Saban has obviously been superior to everybody. Florida State's been that way at the end of the Bowden time. And, you know, when Jimbo came in and kind of modernized things and got some fresh blood in there, Florida State, because of its rich history and the successes of Bobby Bowden, it quickly turned around. Now, there are other factors, but historically speaking, if you've been something, if you've been a name program, if you've been elite, and then suddenly you go down, you go south, you're not what you once were, to get it back just takes the right guy, the right spark, the right vision. Whereas if you're starting from scratch, from a place that's never had it, it takes longer. It's more difficult to, you know, ingrain in people that this is where you're headed.
What's interesting to me about this group is you're right. They are bringing in a lot of top flight talent from high school, and that's good. They're closing it. They're doing a good job of closing on it. But as NIL becomes more across all sports, and maybe for Olympic sports or non-major revenue sports like football and basketball, the bubble bursts a little bit. I don't know what the future is for a sport like baseball or softball or soccer. Like, well,
you know, it's not great in this conference long-term because of the money disparity, so there's that.
That is what I'm getting at here is it's impressive to me that they brought in this much talent. And I mean, I know we've got resources in football. Beyond that, I mean, it feels like all hands have been on deck for football. Certainly aren't signing a top five basketball class anytime soon. You know what I mean? So it's very impressive that he's able to do this, and I wonder how much perhaps a night like last night can do for the program when it comes to
funds.
The gray and white-haired folks that walk in that can do something about it and help next year and say, well, this reminds me of 96, Link. How about a check for $150,000?
How about that check? Right? Yeah, yeah.
I just wonder how that plays into this roster building, because we know from Mike Norvell, you had the pandemic first, then the transfer portal, and NIL. And it's like, okay, one thing changes the world for a period of time, so you can't go into high schools physically and recruit kids, forge relationship with coaches. Now that time has passed. All right, now this portal thing is going to get a little out of hand. I don't know. Maybe you can use it. Maybe you can't. Also, we're going to pay the players. Let's see how you can build your roster with these three fundamental things that are hurdles to your operation. He's found a way to use them all to his advantage. Link has, I don't know how he's gotten this roster this good, this quickly. This is really something. Because that pitching staff, I know they're banged up this weekend, but as I've said a bunch this year, they've got stuff. Like Brady Lauk, they should be excited about. I know Abraham had a rough night last night. They should be excited about him, Hudson Rowan, all these dudes. Where the hell did they get them all? Because they project very nicely over the next couple of
years. Well, Micah Posey was a really good hire, and I think that projects well. And I think Link obviously does a very good job of assessing what a player is, what they can become. He has a very set very distinct set of ideas of that what he wants a player to be and how they fit in. You can through player evaluation and expertise in recruiting and connections, probably dodge some of the proverbial bullets of NIL inefficiencies in baseball when you're facing SEC teams, because nobody's got more money, for example, in the SEC for baseball than LSU. And LSU just won the national championship. They're also on the cusp of not making the postseason this year. It's amazing to watch what's happening.
But that's what's so bizarre. You're competing in that marketplace. We don't think about baseball that way, but it is. Yeah. You are competing in a marketplace.
Well, and when because of the excess money that the SEC and now the Big Ten will have, You know, it's got to go somewhere, and it'll go into stadiums, and it'll go into coaching staffs, and it'll go into recruiting. And yes, baseball trends in that direction as it's one of the big three. I do think you can get away with some things in baseball a little bit longer than you could football. But at the end of the day, and part of the good news yesterday for Florida State in the courts for now, you know, let's just see what happens. I think you could sustain it for another couple of years if you had to, this year certainly being one of them, and next year too. I think they project nicely. Now, they're going to lose a lot of people off this team, but they also got some talent coming in, and he'll be adding to it. It helps, too, that you were able to convince, and I want to give a lot of credit to people like this, you know, think about Tibbs deciding to stay here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that made just a little difference.
Oh, I mean, the season he's having, the player he is, he's potentially the player of the year in the ACC. He's on a short list of players that you would look at for national player of the year. So he's been that kind of good. By the way, he's also gotten better out and right. You know, he was a train wreck, and now he's adequate, a little bit more than adequate. So I think when you have a superstar in your lineup and then you see the emergence of another superstar, a surefire MLB player in Cam Smith, and how he got much better than he was a year ago. He also has improved defensively by leaps and bounds. Now you have some core people in your lineup that decided not to run for the hills when things went south, when the new guy came in. You know, they could have very easily said, I'm not starting over. I don't care what this guy's reputation is. It's been a miserable experience for me here, and I'm going to go take it elsewhere because I can fit right in, and I'll be a star, and I'll have protection in the lineup, and, you know, I'll probably have my best year. They chose to stay back and believe, and that goes a long way. I think Link and his staff would say that they owe those young men, just as those young men would say that they owe the coaching staff, an awful lot.
It's overnight, you know, and the previous head coach, Meat, got screwed by the pandemic. They were off to a decent start in 20.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that doesn't help matters when you're trying to get off the ground. That's what makes Norvell's perseverance really something to behold and remarkable. And it's unassailable, really. Mike Norvell's ability to overcome what he just had to do at Florida State. He didn't get the benefit of the first and second signing class that most guys do when they take a job in Gainesville or they take a job in Coral Gables or Tallahassee. There's a bump that comes with that. He didn't get it, but he found a way to succeed anyhow. With Link, this is instant. I know what last year was. We won 23. I get it. We won nothing. This is instant. This roster flip was quick, and you could tell that there is continuity, meaning that when these guys leave and take their slots in the draft and their slot money, you've got other answers ready to go. Like, this thing happened very, very fast, and they do look like they can replenish. And I love how he is very urgent about getting more pitching in here. But when you're looking at, you know, the football program and its resurgence and its return and its climb and baseball, there are some serious similarities in the coach, but the circumstances are very, very different.
It's fascinating.
And so is the timing.
Hey, by the way, on the subject of Mike Norvell football, we've got some conversation to have around that. I was at yesterday's practice. I have some observations that I want to get to start the next hour. We also have the Lottie Woad interview that we're going to do, fresh off of her win at Augusta National. But something to note here, I don't know if you saw Bill Connolly's article on the 30 coaches who will define the next decade of college football. You could guess very easily by that headline that Mike Norvell would be included in that list. And yes, in a hurry, he was. And they talked about there are tiers of this. Successful head coaches with plenty of tread left on the tires, for example, is a category. So you could guess the first one on that list would be Kirby Smart. He's young enough, he's uber successful, and he's still hungry, so he'd be there. Kalen DeBoer, fresh off of Washington, going to Alabama, would be on that list. Steve Sarkisian, doing it with Texas, is on that list. Lane Kiffin, to some degree, is on that list, although I would have looked at that and said, Ryan Day is on that list. Luke Fickell is on that list now with Wisconsin. But he wrote the most exciting younger head coaches, and he kind of prefaced it and said, never mind the 50 and under crowd. These are 42 and under, and they've accomplished more than the six guys I've listed above before they were the age they are now. And so
there you go, saying, hey, man, nice. We got to do a lot of names before we get to Mike.
So the two that I knew he would name, given those parameters, are the top two, and those are the right two. It's Dan Lanning, who's only 35 years old at Oregon, which when people ask me, when Mike was on the precipice of taking the Alabama job, and seems to me that outside of Dan Lanning would have been their first choice. If he had taken it, I would have been like, throw the kitchen sink at Dan Lanning, is what I wanted to do. Young, smart, can recruit, fiery. I would have said, let's go.
I'm not ready for that.
We didn't have to do it.
No, I'm not ready for that because he'd be the first Florida State head football
younger
coach.
Younger than you.
Younger than me.
Well, Mike's younger than me.
That's effed up, dude.
Oh, it's going to happen, buddy. That's where you're headed. This is where you're headed.
Not like this. Not now. Not when I'm 37 years old. You're bringing a 35-year-old. Get out of here.
So Mike is 42, and this is cool, and I'll read it to you as we go to break. Norvell already has nearly a decade of head coaching success on his resume. He won 38 games with an AAC title and two ranked finishes at Memphis, then took on a dire situation at FSU where he improved the Noles from 3 to 5 to 10 to 13 per SP+. Both the offense and defense have improved every single year under Norvell's watch. His track record of adding stars through the transfer portal is as impressive as anybody's in the game, and if they have the right quarterback, the Noles could be ACC champions again in 2024.
And that's the question.
I'd say that's correct.
Now, he's been flashing some serious skill refinement, or is that too far to go? Maybe that's.
Well, he looked good yesterday. He had a good throw, probably one of his best throws of the spring so far, right in front of me, and he dropped it in a bucket to Landon Thomas, and it was just impressive. But I have a growing concern that I want to address.
Oh.
Not about DJ, but a growing concern that it's just now kind of popped up on the radar here, and there are a lot of circumstances that add up to this.
Not about Landon Thomas, is it?
No.
Good.
It is not about
good.
Landon Thomas. He looked good
that's
yesterday.
My guy.
No. That's just something that, two fingers to my eyes, two fingers back to them that I'm watching. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Don't forget next hour, the Augusta National Women's Champion, Amateur Champion, Lottie Wode, going to join us on the Jeff Cameron Show as well.